We catch a vision of you on your throne, clothed in glory, full of wonder we are, God, at the amazing miracle of our relationship with you. All you're doing in the earth, Lord, your soon return, Jesus. We are your children, God. We declare once again, we are the children of God. We live by you, God. We live by the atmosphere that you bring, God. Our perspective is yours, Jesus. We don't measure by what we see with the eye, but what we know in the Spirit, Jesus. Let us bring a smile to your face, Lord, today. How we love you, Jesus. How we love you. We love you, Jesus. We love you. We love you. We love you. How we love you, Jesus. We worship you. Lord, you are so good. You are so good. We declare your goodness over every area of our lives, Lord God. Every area where there remains dysfunction or hopelessness or uncertainty or fear, there we apply the blood of Jesus. There we apply your goodness, your grace, your lavish wonder, God. We thank you, Father, that you satisfy us. You declare that if we are hungry for you, you will satisfy. So we thank you for it, Lord God. We thank you, that you come to us like the rain, God. You come to us. And we are marked by you, Jesus. Beautiful one. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord.
Hallelujah. I see the Lord coming with an oxygen machine. This morning, he's coming as a refresher. Don't sit down. He's just ministering. Some of you have had anxiety and stress galore. The Lord wants to be your de-stressor this morning. I see him breaking bands around people's chests and heads. And he puts an oxygen machine on your over your nose and mouth. Breathe in this morning. He's coming as the refresher this morning. Hallelujah, Jesus. If you feel him moving, if you feel something happening in that area, just begin to thank him. Let it increase. Let it increase this morning, Lord. Hallelujah. Our hope is in you this morning, Lord. Our trust is in you this morning, Lord. No stress, no anxiety, no fear can invade, Lord, your children. Hallelujah, Jesus. Freedom this morning. Hallelujah, Lord. We breathe the fresh breath of you. You are the breath that we breathe. Hallelujah, Jesus. For those who are feeling something, just take a deep breath in, just as a prophetic action. God setting you free in that area. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Lord, we thank you for tightness in chest. Lord, we thank you for healing hearts today, physical hearts today. Thank you, Lord. Every heart beating in the rhythm, with the rhythm that you've intended it, Lord. Hallelujah. Everybody's blood pressure normal today, Lord. Hallelujah. Healing today in your blood. Lord, in people's blood, in people's systems and organs, we thank you, Lord God. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Just sweep over your people today, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Refresher of our soul. Thank you, Lord. Refresher of our soul. Thank you, Jesus. You're the refresher of our souls today. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus.
Let's just thank the Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord, for all you've done. Thank you, Lord. Oh, we bless you, Jesus. Bless your name. Bless your holy name. We give thanks to you, Lord. Beautiful Savior. Beautiful Jesus. Mighty God. Wonderful Father. Oh, we thank you, Lord. We give you thanks. We give you thanks. We bless you, Lord, for freedom, for healing, for goodness, Lord. Oh, hallelujah. Hallelujah. As Dave was praying, I just saw some of us in the house just recovering a childlike response to God, losing that sear, somber, critical, adult-like, knowing approach and just abandoning yourself with permission to be childlike before the Father again. Just to receive open-handed from Him. Spirit to spirit, thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you for freedom, Lord God. Thank you that we can begin again today. Thank you that we can be born again today. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Lord, we cast off heaviness, we cast off uncertainty, we give you, Lord, these issues. We lay them at your feet, legitimate or otherwise. We know that you will care for them and tend to them, and we take upon ourselves a lightness and a freedom and a joy inexpressible, that the world may know that you are God and that you are good. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Anybody have a testimony this morning? Anybody want to share what God did for you this week? Surely there's a story. Hey. Anybody have a testimony this week? Stewie, come on up here. I know you guys are all sitting there going, what? He's asking for testimonies? I know there's stories out there.
Hey guys, most of you know I'm a high school chaplain down at Caloundra High, and dealing with all sorts of stuff on a daily, weekly basis. And this week in particular has been a week where I've had a number of 13, 14, 15 year old girls, almost like a line of procession, coming in and out of my office. And the common theme with so many of these young ladies is just a brokenness and a hurt, and just a deep sense of not being loved. And one girl in particular I want to tell you about, I've known her, she's in grade 10 now, so I've known her since she was in year 8, and I've known a bit of a journey, and she booked a time to come and see me, and we were chatting, and the tears started rolling, and, you know, there's just such despair and hurt there in her life. And at one point, I just asked her the question. I said, have you ever felt loved? And then the floodgates just opened, and she just wept and wept and wept. And I wish at that point that, you know, I wasn't a chaplain, that I could just be like a dad and just take her in my arms and hold her, but you can't do that. But I've got big cushions in my office, so kids can kind of hang on to them. But I was just able to minister, you know, the love of the Father in that situation, and just to let her know that, you know, no matter how she feels, that she is loved, that she has a God who loves her so, so much, and that she is so special in His eyes. And as our time came to a close, I just said, look, can I just bless you? And she said, yep. And I said to her, look, I could just see, like, you're a bird in a cage. and the cage door is flung open, but you're not willing to leave the cage. You know, it's like you don't trust your wings to fly. I said, you know, you can leave the cage. God will help you to fly. And And she shared that she's had an experience, you know, at a youth group, and she'd used to go to one of the local youth groups, and she said, you know, those people always look different. They always looked free, like there was no fear like I have. I said, yep, that's God. And so I'm just praying and trusting that she will realize the wings that she has, and that she will be able to leave that cage and just soar in him. But yeah, I just wanted to share that, and you know, just to, no matter where we're at, we have a good God, a God who loves us and who loves the people that we encounter on a day-to-day basis with the love of the Father.
Yeah, amen. Father, in Jesus' name, we just present this young girl to you, Lord God, that Stewie ministered to. We thank you for the wisdom that he applied, the spirit that he was able to minister out of. Thank you, Lord, for your presence there in his chaplain's office. Thank you, Lord God, that you love this young lady with an everlasting love, and she has begun a journey now with you that will not be taken from her. So we declare freedom over her life. We declare the love of the Father, the love of the Savior to fill her, to own her, to mark her, to protect her from the enemy. No more loss, no more destruction, no more robbery, no more delay. We bless her now in your name, Lord. Thank you, Jesus.
Just while we were in worship, I received a prophetic word for this young lady with the purple shirt on. Just here. What was your name, sweetie? Sorry? Lucy? Cool. Well, I just saw that you have an incredible heart for God, and you have a really powerful tongue. And anything that you pray from the heart for your family or friends, God's just going to give that to you. You're going to be a light in the darkness, and you're just going to see many people come to Christ. And this is, it's incredible. Just as I was worshiping, I just saw so much power coming from you. Use that power wisely. Your tongue's a very powerful weapon.
Amen. Thanks, man. Whew, that's good. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord.
Yeah, Bronnie and I lost two really good old friends this week. One passed away on Thursday, and we went and saw our other friend yesterday, and she'd already died when we got to see her. And I guess this morning in worship, and I was just saying, thank you, Lord, for the privilege of her friendship and of knowing her. And it just really, we went and saw Bernie this morning, and just what Dave shared last week, just how we need to cherish one another. How we've got to really, really, our friendships are so valuable, and to be too busy is just so absurd. So it's something that our society has, which is nuts. You know, to be too busy for your friends. And so I was just in worship this morning, just thank you, Lord, for the privilege, the honour of having such a sweet friend, you know.
Last one.
I just want to share, in my workplace, there was an RN working down the other end of the building to me, and she'd been away for over a month, very, very unwell. She had extreme dizziness, and then she'd been in hospital, and they'd have every test done. She'd had heart tests and CAT scans and blood tests, and they never actually found out what was wrong with her. So she was back at work, and I don't often see her, but I went down the end for a totally different reason, and I saw her, and I asked her how she was, and she was really still struggling. She said she had still had a lot of giddiness and severe headaches, and I said, well, what are you doing at work? And she said, well, she had to be there. And I went to move on, and then it's like the Lord turned me back to her and like really shone a light on her, and I just felt such compassion for her. And I know she's not a Christian, but I just said to her, I just asked her, could I pray with her, for her? And she looked up a bit surprised and said, oh, well, yeah, okay, you might as well, nothing else worked. So I don't even know what I prayed, but I prayed over her. and just went about my business. Anyway, I happened to see her the next week, which is really unusual because I don't see this woman very often at all, in the tea room, and it was only her and I in there. And she looked amazing. And I said to her, "Gee, Julie, you look fantastic today. How are you feeling?" And she said, "Well, it's a funny thing, but ever since you did that thing with me last week, I've been feeling really good." And she said, "And I had to go back to my doctor this week. And I said to him, I'm feeling really good." And he said, "Oh, well, it must have been a virus and now it's gone." And she said, "But I don't know whether it was just a virus." And she said, "Oh, I forgot to tell you something. When you prayed for me, I felt like this really intense hot and cold tingling go right through my body." And she said, "It was so powerful, I had to go into the staff room before I could go home. I had to sit there for 10 minutes because it just kept doing that." And I went, "Woo! Praise God." I said, "He's got your number. He's got your number. You thank him."
Thanks, Denise. Isn't it good? Isn't it good? Give God some praise. Give God some thanks. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. God is so good. Thanks, Noah. Guys, I want us to go to prayer just briefly. We're just pressing in. Just pray for whatever issues there are in the neighbors around you in the church here. You can share if there anybody need a touch of healing. Anybody need a little jacking up, a little putting up on the rack, a little change of the oil, you know, a tune up by the Lord. If you do, we know some of the major issues in the house that are abiding, and we just continue to present those to the Lord. But if there's a hand up around you, just pray for those guys. But also, will you guys pray for John? Al just mentioned to me at the beginning of the service this morning that one of the regulars at Burgers is now down at palliative care in Caloundra with cancer. And, you know, Al's heart is that he just surrendered to the love of God, and that he's at peace and that he's comfortable, and the Lord will have his way with John, right? So we'll pray for John this morning as well. And anything else that come to mind, guys, you can bless your elder brother Israel for a few minutes in prayer. If you've got nothing else to pray, let that also be part of the litany that we bring before the Lord right now. So just go to prayer for just a few moments. And if you're lacking things to pray, just bless each other and empower each other with an anointing of the Holy Spirit. Strengthen one another in Jesus' name. Lord, we humbly and boldly ask you for your blessing, Lord God, on all the issues that we might list before you, all the issues of our lives, Lord, our relationships, our families, our children, our parents, our jobs, our futures, our hopes and aspirations. Lord, we lay them willingly at your feet this morning, Lord God, and we say, you alone are God. You alone are good. Hallelujah. We are your children. We are the sons and daughters of heaven. We abandon ourselves to your goodness, to your ways, to your wonder, God. And we bless you today in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. God bless you, everybody. And welcome to Flame Tree this morning. It's good to have you all here. It's good for Ginny and I to be back. Ginny's over in Sunday school, so she doesn't get to say good morning to you. But I can. And I can tell you, we had a great week away. Some of you going as usual. What? Was he gone? You didn't even know, did you? No. Well, we were away. Yes, we were away for a week. I was teaching as usual at the school, and this time we had a record number of students, had about 80 students all over Asia. We even had one young woman from Tajikistan, and I had to admit, I'm going, where the heck is Tajikistan? It's next to the other stands in there somewhere, but frankly, I would not be able to put my finger on Tajikistan. She comes from the first believing family in Tajikistan, and it was just marvelous. We had students from Philippines, from Myanmar, from Nagaland and India, all over the shop. And it's always a delight to go and share with them and see their eyes wide open with wonder at the goodness of God. And they're so hungry to hear. And it's not unlike you guys, you know. Just on the edge of their seat, willing to just to plow in, press in to God. And it was really refreshing. And so I would teach 5 hours every day in the morning till about 1. And then, of course, normally when I travel alone, I get to go back to the room and just crash, you know, for the afternoon and evening. But with Ginny there, we had to crank it up, I'm telling you, man. So we went out and played every night, and It was fun. It was really, really delightful to have Ginny with me. So just thank you for your blessing, guys, your willingness to let us go out now and again like that and just and to leave a blessing. It was just awesome. Just awesome. Just a couple things you need to know. Child Safe Training Day is coming up on Saturday, and if you are a leader in the house or a potential leader, you really must attend. So if you haven't signed up, please do so and block out at least a portion or whatever's appropriate of your Saturday according to the requirement this coming Saturday. And so you do need to sign up so we know you're coming. And just please acquiesce with this requirement of you know, the state and the government, and also just so that we, for righteousness' sake, I can almost talk. You know what I mean. Okay. Also, hey, Dave, dream interpretation coming up. We got over 30 signed up already. And that's coming up on the 25th to the 27th, Tuesday. Oh, it's this Tuesday. It's this Tuesday. So Tuesday, Wednesday, and Thursday, it's only 3 hours a night, 6 to 9 each night, and then depending on what the Lord wants to do by the Spirit after that. But it's $50 a person or $75 for a couple this Tuesday. So really, it's already a full class, but if anybody at the last minute feels like, hey, dream interpretation is a skill I want to sharpen in my toolbox, then you can still sign up. You can still come along, and it's always a blessing. It's always encouraging, and I just love to see Dave releasing the anointing and the giftings that God has deposited in him to the house here. So it's really our responsibility to employ what God has given us. These are not just entertaining options. These are the issues of our days, to become trained up in the way that God has empowered us to do. So this Tuesday, sign up today if you can. Also, just so to keep you aware, I think Saturday week, so 2 weeks from now, we got our classic movie night that Dave's organized, and should be really fun. You need to sign up for that so we know how many pies to order. So you get a beefy pie for $5 and a classic old movie, And some of you got the flyers floating around there. So it's just going to be a fun night. And along the lines with what Alan was sharing, based upon what Dave brought last week, it's just, you know, just let's get the relationships in the house strong, whole, and healthy, and let's just learn to love and live with each other and share it, spend time together. It's what binds us together. And before I invite Paul to come up, we do want to take the offering, so let's just pray for that right now, guys, as you prepare. God is so good. God is so amazing. You invite us, Lord, to live by a whole different standard, a whole different view of life, mighty God. It's something that really requires a lifetime of transformation for us to fully apprehend. But this much we know, Lord God, we cannot outgive you. And you have ordained that as we give, so it will be given to us, Lord. So we make room in our lives by the strength you've given us through these tokens, Lord, that you would bless us indeed and continue to empower us to do the work of the kingdom. So we give to you, Lord, because we love you and because we know that in wisdom you have determined this to be our relationship with you and part of it. So, Father, receive these offerings and multiply them supernaturally in Jesus' name. Thanks, guys. You can take that up. And thank you, guys, for your faithfulness in that regard. Remember, Sunday night, we're re-showing Compelled by Love, which we viewed several weeks ago, but many of you missed it. And so we thought it good on staff that we re-air that. So tonight at 6:30, we will be showing the film Compelled by Love one last time. And if you've seen it before, you'll know it's worth seeing a second time. But if you haven't seen it, please come along tonight and let the Lord, the Holy Spirit, just plow you through the story of Heidi and Roland Baker's ministry. It's something you do not want to miss. And also, next Sunday night, Sunday, March the 2nd, next Sunday night, is the opening of the official opening of the Salvation Army's new facility. And so we're going to go along. All right, so we will not have worship here next Sunday night, but if you have a mind to do it, please bring a plate, and we're going to go up to the Salvation Army in as big a number as we can muster and just be a blessing to them as they inaugurate their new facility. So next Sunday night, 6 o'clock at the Salvation Army, with or without a plate. I think they'd rather have you there, even if you don't have food with you. But let's all go next Sunday night and just be a blessing to the body there. So in Jesus' name, Lord, bless Paul tonight now as he comes with your word, and just let him be refreshed even as he shares what you've laid on his heart.
And why don't you welcome Paul to the front, guys, and honor him. Thank you.
So, good to see you all this morning. Good to be here. Isn't it good to be in the presence of God, in the presence of His people? There's something very, very special about it. As we come together, not in uniformity, but we come together in unity, God commands a blessing. Commands a blessing. Look out when God commands something. Get ready. He's commanding a blessing. He's commanding a blessing on you. Commands a blessing on you. So, Father, we thank you for today. Thank you that it's a new day. Your mercies are new today. Get fresh oil today. Get fresh revelation today. Get a fresh look at who you are, a fresh sense of your presence today. And we just are so grateful. We're so grateful and so thankful. Amen. You don't need to turn in your Bibles today unless you really want to. We're going to speak this text together. Because if I'm going to come up with a title, it's Taste and See, and you know where we're going to go for that text. Psalm 34:8 says, "O taste and see that the Lord is good. Blessed is the man who trusts in him." So we'll say it together. We'll cut it in half so that we can remember it, and let's say it together. O taste and see that the Lord is good. Let's say that again. O taste and see that the Lord is good. Blessed is the man who trusts in him. Blessed is the man who trusts in him. So we are tasting and we are seeing that the Lord is good. And this is a text that we can apply not partially, not sometimes, not in some circumstances, not in given circumstances, but all the time. O taste and see that the Lord is good. Taste and see. I'm going to tell you something this morning. I'm going to give this piece of information to you free. I don't normally give away pieces of information like this for nothing, but I'm going to tell you this morning, and it's free. I'm going to tell you, do not ever go supermarket shopping when you are hungry. That's just a free piece of advice this morning. Don't ever go supermarket shopping when you are hungry. I've been supermarket shopping when I'm hungry, and it so affects me that I've even wanted to eat Brussels sprouts when I've been shopping. I hate Brussels sprouts. I can't stand them at all. I don't even like the smell of them. But when I go supermarket shopping hungry, my mouth so starts to water that I could grab those babies and stuff them into my mouth. And that's a terrible thing. Hunger does terrible things to us. Imagine me wanting to eat raw Brussels sprouts, but that's what hunger does. So when I go supermarket shopping, and I try not to make a habit of it, but there are times I go, and I try not to go hungry. So it's easy when we have a church fast because you just don't go supermarket shopping, do you? You just don't go shopping at all. Whenever I've heard this verse, "O taste and see that the Lord is good," a picture has always come into mind since I was a little kid. The same picture comes into mind. I'm still a little kid. I'm just weather-beaten and a little bit bigger and probably not as cute. But I'm still a little kid, and the picture still comes to mind. I don't know what the picture is for you, but for me, it's me being in the kitchen when I was a little kid, and Mum is making a cake, and my mum is a good cook. back when I was a kid, she had to be a really good cook because she had five sons living at home, plus dad, and we knew how to eat, so she had to know how to cook. And she used to cook, amongst many other things, cakes, and I loved it when she cooked cakes when I was home because she'd mix the mixture in the bowl. I can still see the bowl, and then she would put the mixture into the container to cook it, and there would be stuff left in the bowl. And I used to hope that she made a mistake and left a little bit more in there, because she'd leave the bowl there and I'd be able to lick what was in there, and sometimes it was a bonus. I used to think she'd done it accidentally, but I don't think it was accidental at all. I think she used to leave some stuff in there at times and I would get into it. I tell you what, when I'd finished with that bowl, it didn't need washing. You could just put it straight back in the cupboard, because I'd tasted the life out of that bowl. And I kept on tasting because it was good. It was really good. What was in that bowl was good. That's why when I read this scripture, it doesn't mean nothing to me. It really means something to me, because I can see myself licking that bowl and going, this is good. I wish there was more of this. And that's how the Lord wants us to be with Him. He wants us to so taste Him that we go, oh, I wish there's more. And the good thing is, we don't run out like the cake bowl. We don't run out. There's always more. The more we taste, the more there is to taste. And He doesn't want us just tasting. He wants us to partake of all of His goodness. When we're talking about this word partake, Hebrews 2 verse 9 says, but we see Jesus, who was made a little lower than the angels for the suffering of death, crowned with glory and honor, that He, by the grace of God, might taste death for everybody. He didn't just put His finger in and have a taste of death. When it says He tasted death, Jesus partook of death. He didn't just dip His finger in, He entered into death. I just want to pause there and just reflect on that. That He said, you taste Me and find out that I'm good. And this same God tasted death. He tasted My death. So that He says to me, I want you to taste Me and find out how good I am. And He tasted the guilt, the shame, the iniquity, the horror that led to death. He deliberately and willingly and obediently tasted death for me. Of course, you know the story. Death had to taste Him, and death had no hold on Him. Death had never tasted anyone like Jesus before, because Jesus is perfect and death couldn't hold Him. Death tried every way to keep Him there, or maybe death suddenly got sick of Jesus being there and spat Him out. I'm not sure how it works. But death tasted something it had never tasted before when Jesus gave up His life. And He tasted that for you and for me. And we just, Lord Jesus, we just want to say thank You. We're so grateful. We are so thankful that You tasted death for us. We're so grateful. So grateful for You, all You've done. Thank You. Thank You. So when we taste something, we don't just dip our finger in, we enter right into it. I'm going to get some of the guys from the worship team to come up. So you lead the way. You are the leader this morning, Hannah, so you come up first. Hannah did a great job this morning, didn't she? Come on, we need five other guys from the worship team. They're my guinea pigs this morning. And look, in case you didn't know, Hannah is not only a great worship leader, but for the last 2 weeks, Hannah has been working in our admin section in the office, and it's just been so good to have her there. So if you ring the office and you hear this sweet, pleasant voice answering, it'll probably be Hannah. It won't be me, sweet and pleasant. It'll be gruff and like, oh, yeah, that's Paul. Yeah, he's answering the phone today. But thank goodness that mostly it's Hannah answering the phone. So bless you, Hannah. How many have we got? We need one more. Dave, that would be you. All right, Hannah, you can come up here with me. You guys just turn and face the wall. Okay, we're having a taste test this morning. They're going to taste with silver spoons because we're all born with silver spoons in our mouths. No one gets born with a plastic spoon in their mouth. Why? Because we're all chosen. We're all special. We are all blessed. We are all favored. Everybody gets born with a silver spoon in their mouth. Isn't that good news? So we're just going to underline that this morning. So what I want you to do is take the spoon and just with one of the things in here, just feed to the first person who turns around. Now, that would be Caleb. Turn around with your eyes closed, Caleb. And you can feed one of those things to Caleb. So whichever one you choose. Yep. It's all good food. This is all good stuff. Okay. Open wide. Eat it up. Okay, we'll have the next person. That would be Elise. Eyes closed, turn around. New spoon. And whichever one you choose. Hannah, here we go. So you can chew it up and then you're allowed to open your eyes. That's quite okay. The next one. That would be Noah. Turn around, eyes closed, so you don't see what's going on. Open wide. Okay, next one. David, you're the guinea pig. Open wide. What's Hannah got for David this morning? Oh, she's been very selective there. All right, open wide. Come inside. Chew it up. And the last one, we've got Mr. Dixon. Turn around, eyes closed, open wide, chew it up. Thank you so much, Hannah. That's great. Okay. Now we're going to find out if they could actually identify what they tasted. Caleb, what did you taste? Caleb tasted a cashew. Well done. Elise, what did you taste? Raisins or sultanas? Well done. 2 out of 2. Noah, what did you taste? It was a cherry tomato. And I just want to tell you, I want this to go on record, that it was a hard thing for me to do to actually share my cherry tomatoes. Some of you know how partial I am to them, and this is my weakness, but I shared it with you this morning. So 3 out of 3. Well done. David? Well, it was cheese, but he couldn't tell which one it was. So, but we'll still give you a point for that. Well done. And Dave Dixon? It was not just ginger. It was sugar-coated ginger. So a big round of applause. Well done. Thanks, guys. You can sit down. Look, I did that little test. I refrained from getting horrible stuff to eat, so it was all good food, ordinary food. But it's interesting because they didn't know what they were eating until they tasted it. They actually never got to look at it, and they tasted it, and they could identify what it was. Maybe it was at times by the texture, maybe it was by the size, but mostly they could taste it and knew what it was because of its taste. And they could say, okay, it was a cashew, it was tomato, it was ginger, cheese, sultanas. They could identify what it was. In Exodus 16:31, it talks about God giving the house of Israel bread from heaven. And it says, and the house of Israel called its name manna, and it was like white coriander seed, and the taste of it was like wafers made with honey. But they couldn't identify what it was. They ate it, they tasted it, but they couldn't say what it was. They couldn't say, oh, this is this particular food. Because they had never eaten a food like it before, so that all they could say was, it's like this, it's a bit like that, it's like something else. When these guys ate their food this morning, they didn't say, it's like ginger or it's like cashew. They said, it is ginger, it is cashew, it is a tomato. But when the children of Israel got to eat the manna, they couldn't say what it was. They could say, we don't really know what it is. It's a bit like this and it's a bit like that. It's a bit like something else, but it isn't that. And God was happy to have them stay in that mystery of, what is this? What is this that we've got? So they called it manna. And there's debate about exactly what manna means, but mostly people say they were saying, what is it? They knew what it was like, but they didn't know what it was. So often with the dealings of God and the moves of God and the way God goes about things, we say it's like this. Because I'm old, I see things happen and I hear people say, oh, you know, it's like it was 30 years ago. Those who aren't 30 years old, who are maybe in their teens, they don't know what it was like 30 years ago, so they are probably more likely to say, well, it is what it is. But those of us who are older often say, it's like this or it's like that. And sometimes we make the mistake of allowing what we know to define what is happening now. And it's not really what's happening. It's just like that. It's just like it. But it isn't it. Manna was not honey. Manna was not wafer. Manna was not coriander seed. It was like coriander seed. It was like wafer made with honey. It was like something else, but it wasn't that. Because manna came from heaven. There's the thing. It was not on earth. It came from heaven. So people were trying to explain a heavenly food in earthly terms. How do we explain what God does when it says clearly, Scripture tells us clearly, this is the God who works all things together for good. What the heck does that taste like? Where in your life and my life, all things get worked together. How on earth can we say, oh, well, it's just like so-and-so. And we do that. And probably there's nothing wrong with it unless we allow that to define, well, this is what God's doing. Many times we don't have a clue what he is doing. And we must come back to taste and see that he's always good. The only thing we know and can hang on to is God is good. So when we can't define what's going on there, we can always go back to taste and see that the Lord is good. Today, he's good. In this circumstance that I don't understand, God is good. When I can't get it together, God is good. When I don't have a clue what is going on and it's an absolute mystery to me, God is good. And that is what he was saying to his people. You've cried out to me because you were hungry and I've fed you with food from heaven so that you go, we don't know what it is, because I want you. I am desperate to get you to trust in me, even in the midst of mystery. Even in the times where you don't have a clue what is going on, I want you to trust in me. When we taste food, when these guys tasted food, there were a number of things happening, a number of things taking place. It was their tongue. Have you ever looked at your tongue? Some of you have. Some of you don't like to look at your tongue. But if you care to look at it, there's little bumps on your tongue. And the bumps, for want of a better word, are receptors to help you taste stuff. They're little taste receptors. And they help you to discern whether it's sweet, salty, is it sour, is it bitter. That's what these little things on your tongue do. But I find it really interesting that in combination with the little things on your tongue, there's little things in your nose as well that help you to identify taste. I just want to talk about this because it means a lot to me. Maybe you've had a really bad cold at times and you're eating your favourite food and you just go, you know, this is bland. Really doesn't taste that good. And one of the reasons you can't taste it that well when you have a heavy cold is because the heavy cold is blocking your olfactory receptors or the smelling stuff in your nose. So these two things are working together. When we're tasting food, we're actually tasting it with the little bumps on our tongue and we are smelling it with our olfactory receptors. The two things are happening at the same time. And I love to talk about this because it says in 2 Corinthians, "Now thanks be to God who always leads us in triumph in Christ and through us diffuses the fragrance." The fragrance of his knowledge in every place. For we are to God the fragrance of Christ among those who are being saved and among those who are perishing. So there is not only in tasting food is there taste receptors used, but there's an aroma, there's a scent, there's a fragrance. Smell it this morning. It's the fragrance in this place of the knowledge of God in his people. The more we taste him, the more his knowledge enters us and the more fragrant we become. Did you know that you're a fragrance? You're a fragrance. God smells you this morning. And you say, "Oh, I don't think I am." What he's smelling is the knowledge of himself in you and me. He's impressed with it this morning. He's so impressed with what he smells because we've tasted and he smells an aroma that's going up to him. Denise shared this morning about being an aroma in her workplace. You're an aroma in the workplace. You're an aroma in the community. You're an aroma in the church, a sweet, sweet savour. There's a curious scripture in Deuteronomy 8:3, and it says, "So he humbled you, allowed you to hunger, and fed you with manna, which you did not know, nor did your fathers know, that he might make you know that man shall not live by bread alone, but man lives by every word that proceeds from the mouth of God." So God fed these people with manna, which was from heaven. And you understand, this was a sign, this was a type, this was a shadow, this was a picture of the man manna, who would come from heaven and we would partake upon him. We would feed upon him. But in the meantime, they were saying, "What is this stuff?" And you remember when Jesus was revealed, so many people say, well, who is he? Or, well, we know where he's come from. And they didn't have a clue. Those whose hearts were open to receive what he was saying, those whose hearts were open to receive his words were the ones who really tasted of him. The others who had already made up their minds what he was like, they didn't get anything. God was giving the children of Israel a picture, a lesson, and he was saying, "I want you hungry. I want you hungry. I need you to be hungry so that you will depend on me." So when the manna was there and the people were given strict instructions, really crystal clear, only gather enough for today. Don't gather stuff for tomorrow. It'll come tomorrow. Only gather what you need today and don't keep it. Don't store it. This will be a surprise to you. Some people disobeyed. That's a shock, isn't it? That's a real shock. I can see the looks of horror on your faces that some people would disobey, but some of them did. And they kept the stuff till the next day. And it's interesting because it talks about the aroma and it says it stank. It stank because it was yesterday's stuff. And his mercies are new every morning. And we can't live on yesterday's manna because he's got new stuff for us today. And he wants us hungry for today's manna. He wants us hungry for what he's got for us today. He wants us hungry for today's revelation. So he's not saying, just hang on to what you've had because the next day there mightn't be anything there for you. He says he's there to provide for you every day. And he keeps us in that position of hunger so that we go back to him again and again and again and again. And he doesn't ever get sick of us going back to him again. In fact, he loves it. He loves it when we go back to him and say, Lord, I'm so hungry for more of you. And he will not ever, 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 ever turn us away when we come to him hungry. We find ourselves being turned away when we come to him going, I'm doing pretty well. I've got a list of things for you, but we'll talk about hunger some other time. He is really attracted to people who come to him hungry, not for what they can get from him, but hungry for him. They just want him. God values hunger because it keeps us in a place of dependency. People who lose their vision lose their hunger. So God gives people over to hunger to help them maintain their vision. If you lose your hunger, you lose your vision. That's why I talked about going to the supermarket. Because the vision of food there sharpens my appetite. Sometimes I go shopping and I didn't really know I was that hungry until I start walking up and down the shelves and I see stuff that I really like. Or you walk past the bread. You walk past the bread. Wow, I dream about hot bread and it's beautiful and white and it's still got that heat from the oven and I just put a light coating of butter on it and then I get Vegemite. And I put a layer, probably about 0.5 of a millimeter, just over that bread. Can you smell it? Can you taste it? You're getting hungry. And that's what God wants for us. That when we walk past him, we go, oh, God, oh, you're so good today. You're smelling good today. Can I partake of something of you? And he says, here you go. Here's the bread. I've got the butter ready for you. And here's the Vegemite. Partake of me today. And we partake of him and he loves it. Because we get satisfied but wanting more. When we eat natural food, often we eat our fill and people say, will you have a second helping? It's like, oh, no thanks, I'm full. But it doesn't happen that way with our hunger for the Lord, because the more we have of him, the more we want. We get filled up with religion. We get sick of religion and people come with more and we go, no thanks, I've had my fill of that stuff. I don't want any more. But we can never get enough of him. We just get more and more hungry. Hunger is a sign of health. Did you know that? Many times people who aren't well who are really terminally ill get to a point where the last thing they want is food. They really don't want any more food. But people who are healthy get hungry. Some of us are a little bit too healthy because we just, some need to get a little less healthy for natural food. But it's a good sign. It's good to be hungry, but it's good to channel that as well. There's an ad going around now, and I kind of like it. Anybody know, has anybody seen the Snickers ad? The Snickers ad, where there's invariably an old angry guy who's just angry and old, and his friend says to him, "Hey, dude, have a Snickers." And he replies with something like, "Don't dude me, you long-haired layabout." But the young guy hands the Snickers over. The old dude eats the Snickers, and then you see him, and he's himself. He's young. He's feeling good. He's feeling okay. Because when we're hungry, and this is an interesting thing, we were made to be hungry, and we're not really ourselves when we're hungry. We're ourselves when we're fed, but when we're fed on the real manna, we're still hungry. Because we were made to be hungry and satisfied at the same time. Hungry and satisfied at the same time. Satisfied but wanting more. Are you there? Satisfied but wanting more. I often wake up at night and just tell the Lord how good He is. And He says things to me and they get me more hungry. He said to me this week, "I've given you a name, I've named you." I fed on that for the rest of the week. I'm still feeding on it. Because it's not words, it's Him. It's Him. He comes and shares Himself with me. He's come to share Himself with you, with each one of us, because He responds to hunger. He doesn't leave us hungry. He responds. Religion robs us of power. It robs us of accomplishing all that God wants for us, and it misdirects us. And I'm reminded of the story. Remember when Saul was king of Israel and he was sitting under the pomegranate tree just out on the outskirts of Gibeah with 600 men? He didn't have a clue what to do. But his son Jonathan knew what to do, and under the power and inspiration of God's Spirit, he and his armor bearer climbed up and engaged with the Philistines and commenced a great slaughter. And God entered into that and routed the Philistines, so that all of the armies of Israel then started to rise up and rout the Philistines. And Saul, with a religious edict, said, hoping to impress God, I guess, "Today we're not going to eat anything. No one's allowed to eat anything today. No food for anyone." Which is pretty stupid when you're involved in tough physical work fighting the enemy, and he says, "Don't eat food." It was just a religious response. Jonathan didn't hear the edict. The guys came across this fantastic part of forest where there was lots of honey about, and Jonathan sticks out his spear into the honey, eats it, and feels good. And he says, "Guys, come and join in this. This is terrific. There's honey here." And they said, "Oh, we can't do that. We can't eat it." And Jonathan said, "My father has troubled the land. Look now how my countenance has brightened because I tasted a little of this honey. How much better if the people had eaten freely today of the spoils of their enemies, which they found. For now would there not have been a much greater slaughter amongst the Philistines." God feeds us so that we can engage profitably in battle. part of the reason that he feeds us is so that we can be strong to rout his enemies. Religion shuts us down, whereby we do stuff that we hope will please God, and it leads to us being powerless. Saul's edict led the people to be less than they should have been. If he hadn't come up with that crazy scheme, these people would have eaten and they really would have routed the Philistines because they were hungry. And you know the rest of the story. Because they'd got religion instead of the real thing, they actually sinned at the end by killing and slaughtering animals and eating the animals with the blood still in it, a thing they were commanded not to do. So religion not only misdirected their satisfaction, but it led them into sin. God wants us to move from religion to hunger and passion. He wants us to be a transforming influence in society. We've heard some testimonies this morning, and praise God for those testimonies, because a part of the testimony is we are in society as transformative agents. And we don't do it. It's Christ in us. It's the fragrance. It's the aroma. It's what we've partaken of him that's in us that does the work. I praise God that I don't have to do the work, that it's Christ in me that does the work. So at the end of the day, no matter what's accomplished, no one gets to stand up here and say, look what I've done. We get to stand up here and say, bless the Lord for all he's done. Bless the Lord because he's accomplished a great work. Look what he has done. Don't you love to talk about what he has done? I love it. I love it when we sing about him, when we sing about his greatness, we sing about his righteousness, we sing about how much he loves us, we sing about him as the overcomer, as the King of Kings, as the Lord of Lords, because it's all about him. Without him, I'm done. I've got absolutely nothing. But through him, we shall do valiantly. It is he who treads down our enemies. King David knew all about this. He wrote in Psalm 23:5. He learned how to be full and empty. He knew how to be in that place. And he said these strange words. You, speaking to God, you prepare a table before me, a feast before me in the presence of my, and you would think it'd be, you prepare a feast before me in the presence of my mates, in the presence of my friends, in the presence of my family. But he says, you prepare a feast before me in the presence of my enemies. This is God. He feeds us with strange food in strange times. No wonder they called it manna. Who would prepare a feast in the face of enemies? God. That's who does it. God. He prepares a table before us when we're surrounded by our enemies. Because he says to us, who are you relying on? And our hearts say, God, I'm going to taste you because you are good. And so I can sit down. In the face of my enemies, I can sit down at a banquet table and I can feed upon you. I can feed upon you in the presence of my enemies. God knew all about, David knew all about that. And so he could write, you prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. Just as I was preparing this, I thought about an old song and how God uses hunger. And I'm finishing up pretty shortly. Some of you, anybody remember the band The Eagles? Yep, The Eagles. One of the songs that The Eagles did back in the 70s was Desperado. And I was thinking of the line from Desperado, and it says, Desperado, oh, you ain't getting no younger. Your pain and your hunger, they're driving you home. Your pain and your hunger, they are driving you home. Your pain and your hunger, they are driving you home. And God uses hunger to drive us home to himself. He uses hunger. If you are in a place today and you're going, I'm so hungry for God, I so want him, Let me tell you, I want to encourage you this morning, that hunger is from God. God gave you that hunger. And just as he gave you the hunger, he gives you the satisfaction. So when you get home, you don't get home to bare cupboards. When you get home, you don't get home to an empty house and nobody's there because they've all gone. This is what happens when you get home. Jesus himself said, "Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, they shall be filled." Hungering and thirsting for righteousness, you are going to be filled. That's a promise because Jesus said it. I'm promising you this morning, if you are hungering and thirsting for righteousness, you will be filled. If that's what you're hungering for, you will be filled and you'll be filled with good things. God uses hunger because there are times where he wants to move us from where we are to another sphere. And the sphere that he wants to move us to is a larger sphere. And sometimes we wonder, God, what's going on in this place that I'm in? It's been so good. I've been fed. I've prospered. It's been so good here. But now I'm so hungry. And God is using the hunger to drive us home, to drive us closer to him. Because that's why he uses hunger. He doesn't get joy out of just seeing us hungry. He gets joy out of seeing hunger drive us to himself. Because he says, I want to fill you guys. I won't leave you hungry. The rich he sends away empty, but those who hunger for good things he fills. And just as I finish up today, thought about a story, lovely, lovely, lovely story. How God gives favor and influence to the hungry. And you remember the story, we often refer to it as the story of the prodigal son. And the father was such a loving man, but the son went away. He left the home and he went and did his own thing. What was it that turned the son for home? I suggest it was hunger. Hunger turned the son's thoughts back home because there he was. The boy who had everything, and now he's feeding pigs. And it says, he looked at the pig's food, and the words that it uses there are, he longed for the pig's food. He was so hungry, he would have eaten the pig's food. I guess he figured he'd get into trouble if he ate the pig's food. It uses this, the original text uses this word, epitomeo, which means he thirsted for, he greatly desired, he would almost have done anything to eat the pig's food. And it led him to think about home. And God will use whatever he can in the way of hunger to lead us home. And the boy's thoughts turned towards home and he said, even the servants, for crying out loud, the servants get fed at home. I'll go home and I'll be a servant. And you know the story, this guy headed for home and he didn't find a father there with a big stick. He found a father there with two arms that wrapped themselves around him. The father gave him influence because he put a ring on his finger and he said, by the way, you're not a servant, you're a son. And then he said, let's kill the fatted calf. So he put shoes on, put a robe on him, put a ring on, and he fed him with a feast. A feast fit not for a king, but a feast fit for a son who had come home. Same Father, our Father in heaven, looking for us today. If you are hungry, and maybe you've been out for a long time doing your own thing, or maybe you've been out there so long you don't even know what home looks like, I want to tell you, there's a welcome waiting for you at home today. I can guarantee it. And there's influence and there's food. And that hunger is driving you home. those of you who are living at home, enjoying all of the food that he puts upon your table, are you hungry for more? Is there more of him that you're looking for today? Press into him. Press into him so that you taste and see that the Lord is good. Father, we bless you this morning. You are so faithful. You are so true. What a God who would use hunger to feed us, who would use hunger to draw us to himself. And Lord, we long to taste of you this morning, and not just taste and then walk away, but taste so that we consume you more and more, that you more and more might consume us. We want to be yours. We want to be your peculiar people, the people that you've named us as, a peculiar people with your presence in the midst of us. Lord, help us to live day by day, even as your people did back in the desert where they were struggling with so many things, but the day they opened their tent doors, they looked out and they saw the tent of your presence. I pray that we would live in the companionship of your presence, that your presence would be the center of everything that we look to and everything that we long for. I pray your blessing over each person here today, over each marriage, over each household, over each larger family, extended family groups. I pray your blessing and your goodness and your richness, and that every person increasingly will see that you are God and you are good. So we say thank you. In Jesus' precious name, amen.